and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm the Gnarly Gnome. This is called The Weekly Pint. It's a show, but it's not really a show. It's a happy hour. It's an excuse for me and you to hang out together, to have a drink together. Just to hang out and drink together. That's really the whole point of it. Sometimes we talk about news. Sometimes we talk about things that are happening in our lives. But really, the point is just for us to sit like this and hang out and drink together. Kind of like a happy hour. Like we're sitting at a bar, having a drink together. You'll notice on the screen that the drunk line is not on there. I didn't fix it yet. I still have not fixed the drunk line. It's coming. I will fix it. Just not yet. If this was actually a show, I would have had to fix it because it would be like this priority. No, it's not a show. It's not a show, so I don't have to. Instead, I could just keep moving screens around and trying new setups. I'm actually really, really liking this one right now. I no longer have to stare at myself. I've moved myself over here, so I don't have to look at me. Now I just get to look at you guys in the form of the chat. As you jump on the live show, do jump onto the chat. Because that's kind of the point of this, is the interaction. Zach says, boo to no drunk line. Sorry, I'll get it fixed. As you jump on, tell me what you're drinking. Let's see, Julia is having Honor Beer from West Side. That's a great beer. Marco just finished cooking dinner. It's having a Titan West Coast IPA from High Grain. I might have some hops that I could get into tonight. I need like a little tiny fridge right here. If it wouldn't be loud, that would be a perfect little spot for a fridge. Maybe like a cooler of some kind. I'm going to figure that out. Let's see. Ryan is having Necro nom 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 New England IPA from Fabled. That sounds great. Let's see. Chris is diving into 2025 Whiskey Rebellion Freedom Whiskey Reserve. I did notice the other day when I was at the store, the whole lineup of Whiskey Rebellion was there, and I almost bought them all, and then I decided that would be bad. I should not buy them all. but stay tuned. Maybe I got some of them. Let's see. Alex is cleaning the bar and drinking South Ridge Alt Beer. That's a good choice. I love a good alt beer, and I love that alt beer. I need to get back up there and drink more of that alt beer. Zach says, nice new Cincy Brewcast episode today. I was like, finally. Oh, goodness. Yeah, it's coming. More episodes are in the works. New episodes of both Cincy Brewcast and Drinking with a Gnome are coming. Let's see. Josh is having a Bodhi from Columbus. And then Chris is having, he says the Bananas Foster is supposed to be great. Yeah, I've heard that's the one I've heard is the best one. I did see that. Let's see. I was down for an alt beer, water for me tonight after a couple earlier. No judgment here. Zach is drinking a Banana Small Batch from December of 2025. I still have the Banana Brown hanging out. I still have to go pick up my December shipment from Urban. Okay, I'm going to drink something. I like the bananas better. Yeah, bananas is a good name for beer. I got a tiny glass. What in the world could I do with a tiny glass that would be appropriate for the weekly pint? I know. I know. We could do some schnapps. We're out of Christmas season, but it's still cold outside, so I thought something that is still seasonal would be good. We're going to go back to the Zierbins. This is, what is this? Stone Pine. Stone Pine Liqueur of the Alps. Such a great name. I'm pretty sure that this says something about it being from 1797, which means this stuff is old. It's also sticky. I wonder if that stickiness is from 1797. Probably not. If you guys have not still gotten around to trying this, I encourage you to do that. Zierbins. So delicious. I'm sure there is some kind of fancy cocktail you could put this in, but I just like to pour it in a tiny little glass or maybe over some ice and just drink it. So that's what we're going to do. Zach says, what about some Malort, or however you spell that? I just can't find any Malort around here, so there's no way that I could drink Malort for the schnappening. All right. Got some Zierbins dribbled on the desk. We'll just rub that in. It's fine. Marco says I need to try that. I'm running kind of... Well, I'm getting low. I'm holding it up like you guys can see. I'm getting low, but... Still sticking around. Here, I'll put this over here. There we go. Just like that, my little other gnome over here. He can keep an eye on it. All right. The schnappening. All right. It smells like stone pine. I don't actually know what a stone pine is. Is that some kind of pine tree? I'm assuming it's some kind of pine tree. There's also some remnants on here of something else. Whatever. It's like, and I want to go back and like listen to myself tasting this every time because I'd probably say the exact same thing. It smells kind of medicinal, like just a little bit medicinal when I sniff it. But not in a bad way, like happy medicine. All right, let me dive into this. Zach says, the cool thing about the Urban Artifact Banana Small Batch is that they made the can art 3D. Yeah, all of the small batch, this is the last small batch that they're ever doing, and they made them all 3D. Oh, here comes Julia with the facts here. It says, a stone pine, most commonly the Italian stone pine, Pinus pinea, is an evergreen conifer known for its distinct umbrella-shaped canopy as it matures, originating from the Mediterranean region and prized for its large edible pine nuts. Ooh, big nuts. Used in cooking, thriving in warm, dry climates with well-drained soil. Nice. I wonder if this tastes like a nut. I don't know. Or if it tastes like the actual pine needles. Now I'm curious. Mmm. Oh, yeah. Ooh, that's so fun. It's definitely piney. It tastes like pine. It's delicious. It is so good. Man. Yeah, not medicinal at all. Not even in the slightest. Ryan says, I choose to believe that Julia just knew all that info. Of course she did. Zach says, when you all say get in the truck, I always wondered, what kind of truck are you all driving? A Ford, a Chevy, or a semi? I can answer this. For all of us, it is a flatbed truck. Like if you ever like watch in some kind of a movie or something, anytime somebody goes hitchhiking and they're in like Texas or something, and the guy just pulls up in a truck and they all just hop in the back of the truck. It's kind of like that. That is the truck that we are arriving in. However, the phrase, get in the truck, is a podcast phrase here in town. And I believe it originated from someone who was probably driving, I'm going to say like a real tiny truck. Like a really tiny, like the Miata of trucks. That's what I'm going to say. That is now canon. Julia says, I know more too. Apparently, stone pine nuts taste rich, buttery, and sweet with a soft, creamy texture and a subtle, earthy pine flavor that becomes more intense and nutty when toasted. Similar to a mix of cashews and macadamia nuts with hints of maple or fig. The freshness is key to avoid a bitter, metallic pine mouth. Yeah, I've always thought that about stone pine nuts. I don't think this tastes like stone pine nuts, but I'm not actually sure. I think this tastes more like pine needles to me. Like it's straight up pine. Like I don't get like a lot of creaminess or nuttiness. Oh, there are words. We could I don't know if you can see that. There's a lot of words, like a whole bunch of them. So we could go to the why not? Why not? I'm sure we've read it before. We'll read it again. This says Zierbens draws its flavor and natural red color from the freshly picked fruit of the Arola stone pine grown in the Austrian Alps. With its taste and nose instantly familiar, Zierbens is exceptionally smooth, slightly sweet, and has a crisp pine floral finish. Generations of mountaineers, that's kind of like me, a mountaineer, practiced in the art of harvest work with Josef Hofer. No, I don't practice in the art of harvest work. I practice in the art of drinking, which is kind of the same thing. I'm like a mountaineer that drinks. To create this artisanal liqueur, enjoy apres-ski as an after-dinner beverage or as a highlight to a mixer. Handcrafted and bottled in Austria by Josef Hofer, a family distillery since 1797. These guys have been around since 1797. That's like a long time ago. All right, I put one of my chats down there, and now I can't even read it. Good Lord. People will always want great local beers. Yes, I agree. Speaking of which, we'll get away from the schnapps, and we will dive in to great local beers. I'm assuming that's next. That's a response to the title of tonight's episode. What's next for craft beer? And I don't want to dive too into that right away. I want to drink a beer first. But yes, people will always want a great local beer, and we will talk about that. Okay, got a glass. Let's get something in this. I have two beers, and I'm hoping that I get to both of them. Neither one of them are local to me. I mean, they're local to somebody, not to me. But I think that's kind of fun sometimes to get out of your comfort zone. I've been drinking a ton of local beer lately. One is hoppy and one is not. Let's see. Zach says, can we pick a beer from your fridge? Okay. No, I already pulled beers out of the fridge. They're right here next to me. I'll let you guys pick which one I go first. And I told you, one's hoppy, one's not. I had an order that I was going to go, but since he asked, I'll let you guys choose which one's first. Hoppy or not, I need two votes for one of them. You guys tell me, and then we'll get it poured in here. Hoppy or not? Do I go hoppy? Do I go not? Julia says not hoppy. She is not hoppy. I need one more vote, and then we will go not hoppy. Or we could throw things for a loop. And we have two not hoppy, and then Marco throws a hoppy in there. Sorry, Marco, but hopefully we'll get to it. I'm assuming this is going to go down fast, and we'll get to it. This is a German beer, I believe. This is from Frau Gruber Brewing. I know nothing of Frau Gruber. It is a pils, evidently. It says store cold, drink fresh, as every beer these days does. It's 4.8%. It's a lager. Not a 16-ounce can, despite what you would think when you look at this in front of me. No, because it's Europe, and they're weird. I'm sorry, Europe. You're not weird. That's a joke. It's 14.9 ounces. And it's it gives me all kinds of information. Yeah, this is from somewhere. I'm gonna guess Frau. It means it's probably German, but I can't actually read anything that's going on here. I don't even know if you guys can see that. It's awfully tiny, but the address is very strange, and it's in a different language that I don't understand. Okay, let's get this in a glass. Right on the drink cam. I wish I could figure out a way to do this drink cam in slow motion live, but that seems like it's probably a lot of work. All right, let's get it in here. Oh, she's fizzy. It's going to take me a second, guys. She's fizzy, even straight out of the fridge. Let's see. Zach says, with my beer, I'm eating Cheez-Its. It's a great snack to go with beer. What snack food do you and everyone else like to eat with beer? That is the easiest answer. Dick's potato chips, always. No, I will say, Cheez-Its go great with beer. Like it's probably like one of like the silliest, like most childish beer snack pairings that you can do. I always feel like an infant when I eat Cheez-Its, but they do go great with beer. I have a couple that I like to go with, and usually they are just based on ease of consumption, ease of storage. They're not the best pairing. Peanuts is very near to the very top of my list. I always keep a jar of peanuts stashed under the bar, and when I'm sitting there drinking a beer, a lot of times I put out a little dish of peanuts. I have a little squirrel bowl. It's a bowl with like a squirrel on it. And he holds my nuts. And then we eat them together, me and my squirrel bowl. I usually, almost always, keep a... I have a bathtub that sits on the bar. If anybody remembers, I guess they still have it. BJ's did this like cocktail, this specialty cocktail that is called the Lucky Duck, and it has a duck in a bathtub. And for like an extra, I don't know, $10 or something, you get to take the bathtub home with you. So I took the bathtub. I'd go grab it, but that's just way too much work. So I took the bathtub and I put the bathtub on the bar, and it is filled with Slim Jims. So I like Slim Jims a lot. Marco says, didn't we do this top five list on Truth Beer Pod? Probably, and I think so. I definitely think so, but I don't remember what we picked. I also like actual cheese. I really, really like pairing up cheese and beer. I think, easy Hans Gruber. I really love cheese and beer. Julia says, yes, as part of a recap of a Barstool Perspective episode. Yes, now that definitely brings it all back. They ranked their best bar snacks, and we told them why they were wrong, and then, made our own list. I wish that there were more places where just by showing up and ordering a drink, they would bring you a snack. Like, I like snacking with my beer. Like, I think you should always snack when you're drinking, personally. Let's see. Julia says, Tubular Meats. Yes, as always. The hard part about Tubular Meats is that if you want, like, actual sausage, you have to cook it and everything. Not everybody has a hot dog roller in their basement next to their bar. Like, I'm very fancy. I'm not bragging too much, but yeah. Yeah, I've got a hot dog roller. Sorry. We live like that here. She says pretzels, soft, not hard. Again, gotta be cooked. Oh, she actually is listing the list. Pretzels, soft, not hard. Again, gotta cook them. That's difficult. Wings are great with beer, but I don't think it's a snack. Personally. Summer sausage, yes. Summer sausage is fantastic. Good choice for the tubular meat. Ryan says, wings, pizza, and burgers are the best foods with beer. I wouldn't consider any of those a snack. There we go. That's my point. They're great to go with beer, but it is not a snack. A snack needs to be something that you can just leave stashed in a corner at your bar. And just when you need a little food with your drink, you can just pull it out, whip it out, and shove it in your mouth. Nobody? All right. Zach says, didn't bars used to have popcorn? They still, okay. Yes, bars used to have popcorn. Yes, bars still have popcorn. If you have not found a bar with popcorn, you are not going to enough dive bars, sir. There's a lot of places that still have a little popcorn machine. Personally, like I'm, there are a lot of these bars that I love, that I would say I trust. But I'm not eating popcorn out of their popcorn machine. I don't trust them that much. I might get a bag of popcorn off of the rack, but I'm not eating out of a popcorn machine in a dive bar. Just throwing it out there. Marco says, "You know who had good wings? Catch a Fire. What happened? Catch a Fire still has great wings at Westside. You can go to Westside and get Catch a Fire wings, and they're great. Yeah, too soon." I don't know if it's too soon. Maybe we'll talk about it here in the conversation. If I ever get this beer poured, I'm trying not to spill it, because I'm kind of looking forward to this beer. While that beautiful fluffy head is settling a little bit, I will read what is in this beer. This is okay. So they start on the top of the list here. They have the ingredients in this little chart. This top little tan section, they tell you the hops first, which is very not German. Although they are German hops, they have Hallertau, Mittelfrühe, Hallertau Select, Hallertau Herzbrucker, and then Tettnanger. So yeah, noble hops, just straight up noble hops. And then the next little section, it says it contains water. That's good. barley malt. Steffi malt. I don't know anything about that. 100% local cultivation. Okay, that's cool. And then it says hops and yeast. Oh, I found where it is. And it says brewed in Bavaria, Germany. Perfect. Imported by Lime Ventures. And then it tells me again to drink it fresh and store it cold. They are very serious about this fresh, cold thing. Okay, that's good enough. There's still a tiny bit of beer in here. We'll drink now, though. Okay. Marco says to get that frothy head from a can is awesome. Yeah, I'm so looking forward to this. Let's see. Zach says, I always remember when watching the movie Gremlins, they were drinking beer and throwing popcorn over the bar while also eating it. Yeah, like it. You need to be eating something when you drink. That keeps you in the seat longer. It makes you feel better while you're eating. You will drink more because, like you mentioned, the saltiness. Chris says Bavaria is a region, isn't it? Yes. Okay, it's pretty. Bright yellow. And then, obviously, we've seen this big frothy head the whole time I've been pouring it, and it's just sticking around. It's like whipped cream sitting on top of the beer. I'm excited about this. Floral, earthy, noble hops. I mean, you know exactly what you're going to be smelling as soon as you read those hops. Yep. All right. Let's get in here. Oh, that's great. There is something else in there that it's not just like straight like old noble hops. Not old like old hops, but there's like a little tiny touch of like a not fruitiness, like a fault in a lager fruitiness, like a hoppy fruitiness. That's good. What were the hop? I don't know. I don't know which one that would be, but that's a great beer. There are a lot of breweries in the United States or even here in Cincinnati now that are making great lagers. Like, there's a lot of good lagers around. Marco says, is it love? Did they add love? I hope nobody put their love in here, but they might have made it with love. There's a lot of great breweries making great lagers, and still there is something about a great traditional German lager. I don't know if it's process. I don't know if it's ingredients. I don't know if it's just that so many people are now trying to put their own American spin on lager beer in the country. Like, and not that that's bad to do, not that you shouldn't do that. But I just crave like a traditional German lager, and this is it. Oh, that's a great beer. Cheers to Frau Hans Gruber, Frau Gruber Brewing in Bavaria. It's from Gundelfingen. I don't know where that is. The next time I'm in Gundelfingen, I'm gonna stop by and I'm gonna have a beer with you guys because you made a heck of a beer. Cheers. As I mentioned earlier, I drink a lot of local beer, and I've been drinking a lot of local beer, and so it's not often that I get out of my bubble. If I'm going to leave my bubble and I'm going to drink something that is not only not made here, but is not made anywhere close to here, it's not even made in the United States. If I'm going to do that, I want it to be a beer like this. I am, you know what? You guys are, for at least the next 2 days... everybody in Gundelfingen, what was that? Is that what a Gundel Gundelfingen. Yeah, everybody on Gundelfingen, you guys are honorary Cincinnatians. I think that I have the authority to do that, and I'm going to do it. I've spoken. There we go. Let's see. Marco says it's not in the purity law. Love, I guess. Let's see. Esoteric has Zach's lager vote. Esoteric's making some good lagers. Zach says, though, I do miss Rebel Metal. And he also mentions Northern Row for lagers. There is, like, I'm trying to come up with a number in my head, and I would have to really look at a list. But I'm going to say that there are, like, no less than 8 breweries in town that are making good lagers. And there's probably no less than 4 or 5 that I would say are making great, like really great lagers. I'm not going to say who they are, but you know who you are. You know if you taste your lager and it's just okay, or if it's good, or if it's great. You know that. And if you don't, if you are not being critical of what you're making, you're doing something wrong. Let's see. Just poured beer number 2. Ryan is drinking Inner Sight Black Walnut Brown Ale from Third Eye. Oof, one of my favorite beers in the city right there. That's a good one. It's like some kind of fun walnut schnapps and a beer had a baby. Okay, let's jump into this topic tonight because I don't know if you guys have heard. Craft beer is dead. Beer is dead. Drinking is dead. Nobody drinks anymore. The world is doomed. Us drinkers don't know what we're doing anymore, and everybody's given up on it. It's dry January. Well, listen, in case you didn't figure it out, I don't do dry January. If you do, that's fine, but that's not what we do around here. And I don't think I fully recognize when I say this that there are plenty of bars and restaurants and breweries and distilleries and places like that that are going to hurt this month because of everybody doing dry January. Not that it doesn't exist. But I don't believe in it. I think it's dumb. I think it's dumb. I think it hurts businesses, and I don't like it. So if you're doing dry January, I'm not telling you should drink, because that's wrong to do to a friend if they're trying not to drink. But you should drink, because they need us. If you have to not drink, let me know. Comment on something, and I will drink for you. So everybody comment on some kind of a post that I do. Go to any post. Any post that I post this month and just say, I'm doing dry January and I will drink for you. I will add you to my list and I will drink for you. You can tell me how many drinks you are going to consume in a month and I will drink those drinks. If you wait until January 31st and you send me a message and you say, I forgot to tell you, man, I was doing dry January and I drink 65 beers in a given month. I'll say, all right, man, or woman, I got you. And that night, I will drink 64 beers. Did I say 64 or 65? I will drink however many beers you say. I won't. That's a joke, because that would be irresponsible. And I do not encourage irresponsible drinking. However, I encourage comedic irresponsible drinking, but it's... it's a joke. Let's see. Eric says, that's okay. We can just drink TH. Oh, never mind. Yes, because drinking is doomed. Let's see. Zach says, I posted in the group to support local breweries and bottle shops. Yep. Wet January. I like that. Ryan says, maybe people could drink in moderation year round so they don't feel the need to take a month off. It is like a strange trend that's happening. There are plenty of days that I take off and I do not consume alcohol. I don't promote that. I don't talk about it because it's not on brand for me. But yeah, there are days that I don't drink. There are days where I drink a whole bunch of non-alcoholic beer. Stay tuned for an upcoming episode of Drinking with a Gnome where we talk about non-alcoholic beer. It's a thing. But moderation and abstinence are two very different things to me, and I believe to my core that everything is good in moderation. everything is good in moderation. And that includes my alcohol. And moderating is not giving up for a month, in my opinion. Okay, but that's what everybody wants to talk about right now, is that alcohol is doomed, and now THC is doomed, and just beverages in general are doomed. And I don't understand how we've gotten to this line of thinking. I guess I do understand how we've gotten to this line of thinking. There is definitely a change right now in drinking. There is a shift happening, and on the surface, it's not a great shift, because businesses are going to be hurting from it. But when you look at the bigger picture, it's not bad. Let's see. I'm trying to stay caught up on the chat today, guys. Let's see. Chris is replying, and I don't know what you're replying to, so it doesn't make sense. Julia says, my beliefs of you as a drinker have been shattered. Yeah, I'm good at shattering. Zach says, who even came up with Dry January? I only remember this happening in the last 2 years. Dry January, I don't actually remember, and I might have it in my notes. Maybe I'll look it up at some point this month and write about it, but it's definitely become way more popular in the last, 2 to 5 years. I think it was before that. COVID messes everything up, but I think it was definitely happening before COVID. And then COVID kind of, everybody paused everything and said, to heck with Dry January. We got to drink all the time. And then it kind of came back in the last couple years. I don't know who came up with it. I don't know why they came up with it, but I don't like it. there are definitely changes happening right now. The fact of all of this is that we have seen literal years, literal years of an industry, and that is craft beer specifically, just exploding. And you have had just unfiltered amounts of money being pumped into this industry as it grows. Just investment and expansion. And it was unsustainable. It is unsustainable to have that kind of growth forever. You cannot keep growing at that scale forever. It has to eventually slow down and even out. And that's unfortunately where we're at right now, is this evening out, the slowing down of that expansion of craft beer. It's not a bad thing. It is a normal thing that most markets go through when they are new, and craft beer was a new market. This last year, 2025, I think the latest numbers that I'm looking at, there were 268 new breweries in the country and 434 closings. So there were way more closings than openings last year. On the surface, that looks terrifying. That sounds terrifying. And I get that. And I understand why it's easy to write about that and why it's easy to talk about that and make news stories about that. I understand, but it's just not capturing the whole picture. The reasons, in my opinion, there's a lot of reasons that craft beer is struggling. And when you look at it from just below the surface level, there are a couple big ones that I've been identifying for me that I think are the very surface level reasons. And they're the easy ones that you hear all the time. People are trying to be more health conscious. People want to drink other things. They're leaning into cocktails at one moment, or seltzer, or THC beverages, or whatever it is. They're just leaning into different types of drinks. Younger drinkers are drinking less, which all of these things, I can debate any one of them if they're true or not. Younger drinkers are drinking less. They just want to go play video games or something. Fortnite. What do kids play now? Fortnite, or I don't know. They're doing that. The biggest one that is a surface level concern that I, again, can argue is money. Everybody's broke. We're all broke. Everything costs more. Groceries cost more. Your insurance costs more, your mortgage costs more, your everything. Everything that you're spending, gas, everything you're spending money on costs more. And so sometimes those luxuries, like craft beer, get bumped to the side. These are all valid reasons that craft beer is struggling. The biggest one, the absolute biggest one that I've noticed, aside from those, the biggest one out of those, I think, is money. And we're seeing that, as Marco mentioned earlier, when he threw out Catch a Fire. The restaurant industry is not immune to this either. There are a lot of restaurants that are struggling because people don't have money to go eat out. Chris says, thankfully, craft beer prices have stayed pretty steady. Yeah, thankfully for us, not thankfully for the craft breweries. They've kept their prices steady, even though every cost that they're looking at has gone up. Yeah, you can still go buy a six-pack for $11. It's gone up a dollar in the last, 12 years? It's insane. Look, I appreciate it as a craft beer drinker. I don't want to spend, $20 for a six-pack of beer, but... it's real. Those are definitely real reasons, but they are not the reason that people drinking less craft beer. The actual fact behind all of this, and if you are familiar with the Beervana blog, Jeff Allworth writes a blog called Beervana that is an incredible blog, good beer writing that is still out there. He has, he used this phrase called the wallpaper phase that craft beer is entering. We're entering the wallpaper phase, where craft beer has gotten so normal, or as I word it, craft beer won. This idea that craft beer is beer. Like when you think about beer in the United States, you think about craft beer. We're there. It won. It's normal. The average drinker, the non-average drinker, every beer drinker has tried craft beer. We've all had it. We all know what it is. You may like it. You may not. That's a whole different argument. But craft beer is beer. Craft beer is normal. This sense of discovery and new, trying new things, finding a new beer, walking into a beer store and seeing a style and be like, I don't even know what that is. I have no idea what a wit beer is. I'm going to try a wit beer because I've never had it before. That's gone. It doesn't exist for most drinkers. So this industry where you had all of these craft breweries that at one time sold their beer based on that new experience, this the sense of discovery and experimentation, that was how they sold their beer. And that is now not how you sell craft beer. We still love that aspect of it, but you don't get it anymore. We've been talking about that for 6-7 years now, anybody, jeez, I hear it in my head now. We've been talking about that for a long time, that we kind of miss that aspect of it, the sense of discovery and excitement and, exploration, and how do we get that back? And you don't. You just don't get it back. There are little flashes of it in the same way that there are with food and things like that. There will always be flashes of it, but it's not going to be a thing that that sustains breweries anymore. They've got to figure something else out. They've got to figure out a new way to survive and to sell their beer. And there are ways. There are breweries that are figuring it out, and some of those things are not always as fun for us as beer drinkers. It's sometimes, coming up with ways to have fun events in their tap room and lower alcohol beer so people hang out longer and consume more, and making family friendly spaces, or making new products, making THC beverages or seltzers or distilling or whatever it is. A restaurant. Look, we are now a restaurant and a brewery. We have great food and you want to come eat dinner here. And that's now, breweries are looking to find ways to create occasions that people can drink beer instead of beer creating this reason that people come into your building. And that's new for the industry. And in my opinion, that's all it's about right now. That's why people are that's why the industry is struggling. That's why, people are, freaking out, because it's uncharted territory for the craft beer industry. It's not bad. It's not bad. It's just evolution. Zach said, I don't mean to sidetrack, but since we were talking about banana beer, I wanted to give a special shout out to Warped Wings Whiskey Rebellion. Bananas Foster is really good, if you can still find it out there. You can. It's still out there. And then Ryan points out that was mentioned before you got here. Yes, it is definitely still out there. I've seen it on shelves. I'm going to drink some more of this after my little rant here. Look, I don't think craft beer is doomed. I don't think we're even close to being able to say that craft beer is doomed. It's just different. It is just different. And the way people consume it is going to be different. And that's okay. Hang on. Oh, so good. I don't think we should be concerned. That's not a right way to put it. We should definitely be concerned and we should definitely be paying attention. But I don't think that all of our local breweries should be terrified that they're going to fail. They might. They very well might, in the same way that any restaurant opening up might fail, because most of them do. Heck, most new businesses that are started up, most businesses fail. By far, the majority of them fail. That doesn't mean that people shouldn't be starting a business. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't start a restaurant if you love to make food. And it certainly doesn't mean that you shouldn't start a brewery if you love to make beer. But you got to understand what you're getting into. Let's see. Chris says, I did want to mention that the last Brow Baron at Dorothy Lane Market in Mason has been rescued and is in good hands. Perfect. I forgot that it was in my fridge again. I still have another one up there. Zach is on to his next beer. Urban Artifacts Small Batch Mango Lime. It is kind of sad that small batch of beers are gone from Urban. I know that they'll do some fun stuff coming up, but man, it was a fun club. The club evolved over time, but the small batch series of beers that they did was great. Like, they just kept putting out some really cool stuff. I really love those guys. I think that they are a great example of a brewery that is not afraid to keep kind of evolving, trying to figure out who they are and how they stay relevant with their community, but also keep changing, because you have to. I'm tired. Like, that was a rant. I'm sorry. That's full on, like, on a soapbox rant. I feel very strongly about this industry, and I feel very, very defensive of this industry. And I know that, like, I'm even so defensive of the industry that I will get into an argument with pretty much, I'm going to say that I would get into an argument with probably 3/4 of the people that are currently in the industry running a craft brewery when we talk about the state of the industry. There's a lot of people in it that are way, 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 way more negative about the state of things than I am. And I think there's lots of reasons for that too. But Zach says, drink a hop beer now. I will after I finish. I got to finish this one, man. I'm going to dump this out. I don't even have a place to dump it. I throw fruit on the floor. I'm not going to dump a beer on the floor. I'm going to dump it down my face. What has been... here, I'll ask you guys a question so you can comment in the chat while I finish my beer. What has been the best beer that you guys have had this year? Because we are now into a fresh new year. It is 2026, which I'm wondering how long it's going to take me to kind of get used to saying that. 2026. What's been the best year that you've had? Zach says, chug it. Yeah. If I had planned ahead, I could have pulled up some label approvals. Let me see if I can do this on the fly. I do have some. There's nothing like really crazy. There is a few good ones. Let's try this. And if I hit this. Mm. that doesn't automatically change anymore. That's fine. It's fine. We'll figure it out. And then I believe this and this and this and this doesn't show anything. Ooh, I can put this over here, maybe. Bear with me. I'm new to all of this. I'm onto something. Oh. Oh, jeez. Never mind. I'm not doing this. This is way too much. I got things cropped all wrong. We're going to put that back over here. I need to just have it set so that, like, one of these monitors is just what gets mirrored over if I want to do something dumb like this. Oh, wait. Now it's kind of working. Except it's cropped wrong. Nope. Not doing it. I am not fighting it. I will get this figured out one of these days. Let's see. Ryan says, okay, I'm going back. Okay. Wait, missed like a bunch of chat now. Chris Marco says Headhunter is his favorite. That's a shocker. Chris says, Whiskey Rebellion I just had, followed by a Truthadelic. Eric says, went on the Utopias tour, got to taste 2015 and 2025, along with a maple bourbon breakfast bock. That's a good one. Julia, the beer I'm drinking right now, which is the beer I opened for the weekly pint. Yes, yeah. Ryan says, best beer so far has been Porchatas Cinnamon Vanilla Porter from Mirror Twin. Ooh, that sounds tasty. Chris fixes email issue. We weren't concerned, but we are proud of you. We're proud of you for fixing it. And Zach says the best beer I've had this year was the Rawr Brewing Hop Isolation Project, made with Rebecca hops. Rawr. Sounds good. Best beer I've had is as of right now this one. It'll change in just a second. That's the way I do things. There are beers that definitely stand out, but the best beer is always the one in my hand. Always. Trick question, sorry. That really is a great beer. If you see that around, get it. I would call it like more Hellasy than Pilsy, personally, but good beer. Now, here's the problem. I did not get two glasses. I have one glass, so we're going to have to pour it in here. I don't think I have another one in here. No, I have an old dirty coffee mug. I could put it in there, but this is probably better. All right. We're on to the hops. Anybody want to make any guesses to either breweries or specifically the beer? No prize, but you get a high five. Zach says, now go wash your glass out with water. Man, it's the sink's all the way in the other room. It's bad, bad podcast hosting. Chris says, we just learned about the Helles and the Pils on today's Beercast. Brewcast. It is the Brewcast. Ryan says, Trillium? No. That's way too fancy. Julie says, Truthadelic? No, that would have been a good one. I still have not had Truthadelic in its final form. Zach says, give us clues first. I did. I gave you clues that it's hoppy. And I gave you a clue earlier in the show, if you were paying attention, that it is not local. And I will tell you that there is some kind of a bomb on the label. And the label has camouflage on it. That's all the hop. That's all the clues I'm going to give. Marco says Swine City. Nope. This is taking too long. This is Fatheads. This is called Alpha Ambush. Alpha Ambush from Fatheads. It is a IPA. It just says India Pale Ale. But then on the label it says, okay, a stealth attack of hops. I don't even know what that means. Shouldn't it be? It's called Alpha Ambush. How is it a stealth attack? You know it's coming. It is 7.5%. Doesn't tell me much else. Handcrafted, unfiltered, pour slowly. Don't tell me what to do. I hate when people tell me what to do. That's like telling me to keep it cold and drink it fresh. I will age it and drink it. Drink it old and keep it hot. And I'm going to pour this fast. Stealth attack of hops. We will see what that means. Is this a West Coast IPA? Is it soft? I don't know. It looks nice and clear. Like it's a bright, clear beer. What does it mean? Marco says it's an awesome beer. Do they include a widget to dry hop in the glass? Ooh, that's a... Okay, no, they don't, but that's an interesting idea. Can you use some kind of a widget to increase hop aroma? Chris says you have to hard pour an IPA to open those flavors. Yeah, I mean, how you pour it can... I can pour slowly and still kind of get it stirred up. That's the important part, is getting a good head on it. Josh also says it's a good beer. Any opinions on if it's a stealth attack or not? All right. It's a good-looking beer, I can tell you that. It's pretty. It's a bright kind of orangish. And then that big old head on top. All right, I already got a whiff. All right. Old and Hot. Was that one of your nicknames in high school, Marco? Yes, it was definitely Marco's nickname. Okay. Yeah, nothing stealth about this. It's a hoppy beer. Big kind of American hops. Like there's a lot of resiny grapefruit. Yeah, smells like hops. What I think of when I think of hops. All right, let me get in here. Zach says not had it, but I know Marco approved of all Fatheads. Am I right? Yes, definitely. Marco loves a good fat head right in his face. Okay, let me try this. Yeah. Not a stealth attack at all. That's just like right when I think. Okay. Ooh. Yeah, that's good. When I think of IPA, this is what I think of. A beer like this. It's clear. It's hoppy. This is just a West Coast IPA. There's not a lot of malt base going on, just enough to kind of keep those hops slightly balanced out. But yeah, no, that's like a good old school West Coast IPA. Man, there is. I can't off the top of my head think of a beer that is currently on tap locally that is as West Coast traditional IPA for me. Maybe I'm wrong. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. That's a great beer. That is fantastic. Fatheads, like that is one of those breweries that like I don't drink all the time, but I drink frequently enough to confidently tell myself that they are one of those breweries that I wish was a Cincinnati brewery. That's so good. And I've never been there, actually. I've never been to Fatheads. That's a confession. Confession time. Gather around. I'd like to confess. Here are all of the breweries that I have not been to. Fatheads. Great Lakes. What are some other breweries that I desperately want to go to that I haven't? I never got to go to Stone before they turned into the Evil Empire. That's sad. I never got to go to Anchor before they might have disappeared from the face of the earth. Are they coming back? I don't know. Never got to go. Get in the truck. All right. That's a good beer. That's a good end to the episode to drink like just a really great West Coast IPA. Not a beer, not really even a style that I order a lot. That's a good question as to why. Like, I think sometimes I'll pass over West Coast IPAs because I want to drink more when I'm out. Like, I can drink, you know, two of these, not the same size, but two of these and still be kind of in the same place if I drink one of these. So I'm more likely to drink two of those because it extends my time. But that's one reason. I also think like it dominates a lot of, if I'm grabbing a beer, if I'm out for dinner and I'm grabbing, you know, a dinner and I'm going to have two beers with dinner. If I drink even like one IPA and then a lager, that IPA now dominates everything else that I'm going to taste. Like it just overshadows my entire meal, usually, depending on what I'm eating. There are other ways to do it, but so I just like, usually I just go to the more crushable stuff when I'm out. Like, usually, it's not necessarily preference. I guess if I definitely prefer it when I'm out, then does that make it my preference? I don't know. Ryan says, everyone go comment and nominate Gnome on Inquirer's latest post about the top local content creators. Look, I appreciate it. I definitely appreciate it, but don't feel guilty if you don't. It's okay. The biggest thing that you can do to help me, although that would be help, I guess that would kind of drive some people, especially since I'm launching a magazine this year. I guess I should be more, I should pay a little more attention to getting the word out there. Speaking of which, I should plug that while we are sitting and having a beer together. I'm launching a magazine this year. This is, this might be next to like starting the website. This might be the biggest like project that I've undertaken. And I don't know that like my wife has really grasped that yet. I don't know if she knows what I've taken on by this whole magazine project, but it's going to be awesome. I'm so excited about it. I am only like 2 weeks behind where I want to be to have this first issue done when I want it to be done. We'll be all right. We'll be okay. I've got a big interview coming up next week for hopefully the first issue. If I can't get it done in time for the first issue, it'll be in the second one. But really, really cool interview that I think will be good. I have kind of the big, what I'm assuming is going to be the big kind of title article in the first issue. That is, 97% done. I just keep kind of going back and tweaking it and changing it and figuring it out a little bit closer. I will give you a hint that I will put the finishing touches on it next Tuesday. And you guys can make whatever assumptions on that you want. It has nothing to do with Truth Beer Podsequences. They are not going to be on the cover of the magazine. At least the first issue. maybe someday. I don't know. we're talking about Humble Monk. Miss Humble Monk's beer. I didn't get down to Humble Monk before they closed. Though I think I had one or two of them. Humble Monk, like I didn't get there right at the end because I really thought they were going to be able to make it happen. I do kind of, I regret that a little bit. Yeah. There are a couple breweries that I didn't make it to right at the end that I'm a little upset about. And Humble Monk is one of them. Listerman, like I don't feel bad that I wasn't able to make it because I don't like the way they did it, but I feel sad that I didn't get to. Marco says, is it the Michael Brings the D. Morgan or the Brett Coleman Baker? No, although they would be a great article at some point. Ryan wants to know if the magazine will feature a centerfold of Marco with a carefully placed snifter to keep it PG-13. You know, like, this was an idea that I had, not that specifically. I did have this idea that is in my notes that I couldn't figure out a way printing-wise to do it and make it to where I could afford it. But I wanted to do a centerfold in every single issue of the magazine. Every time one came out, I wanted a centerfold, but it would be a beer. And like that would be like the one like beer review would be the centerfold. And like you the first page is just like the review of the beer. And then as you flip it and you open up the centerfold, it's just a big giant picture of the beer. I want that so bad, but I can't find a way to do it. I just can't do it. It's just going to cost too much money. Like the magazine is already, if you just go buy an issue of the magazine, it's going to be $15. Like if you just go buy one, it'll be cheaper if you subscribe. But, if I was putting a centerfold in, we're talking like $30 for the magazine. It's so expensive. I just can't figure it out. I don't know. It would be really cool though. Maybe I'll stash a fold out poster in the first issue or something of Marco with a snifter. That if I was going to do a poster, it would be Marco. I do hope that like at some point, and Nomies are a whole different ball game because they'll get stuff no matter what, but at some point, like as like special issues come out, be it you know, the anniversary issue or like fun things that like coincide with when the magazine is coming out, that there can be some kind of like little giveaways and stuff that are stashed in there with it. I want that so bad. Like I want it to be fun. I don't want it to just be just a magazine that you get. I want it to be something that connects in the same way that I want it to connect with people. Like there are things that I love about like creators that I follow and things that I wish they would do or they were able to do. And I got to figure it out. Like this is the type of project that I feel like I've been trying to figure out my whole life, maybe not necessarily about beer, but like, you know, even when I was like starting out in my career as a young photographer, like I just wanted to make tangible things. Like I wanted to take pictures that then translated to a tangible thing that people could hold in their hands or look at on a wall or something that people could like interact with in a different way than just. Granted, at that time, I didn't think about people looking on their phone, but like, that's where we're at now. Like, I want to make things that people are engaging with in a different way than just like swiping on their phone and just moving from one thing to the next, which is fine. Like, that is a whole different type of like, media, and that's fine too. But like, that's not what makes me like feel good. Like when people watch a video that I make, like that, of course that makes me feel good. But like this idea that like you have to like hook people in the first like second of them watching something or they're going to leave. And like, then that's somehow then affects who else can see your video. Like that's just, that's not why I started doing any of this stuff. Like I recognize that you've got to engage with people or like connect with people or make people want to stay on something. I get that. And I understand that like you could still walk away from a picture or throw a magazine down if you don't like it. Like I get it. But like I want people to spend more time with things than what they are. And that's why this whole project is connecting with me as a creator in such a different way. That's where I'm at. Yeah. I think that's a show, guys. If you like this, if you like any of the stuff I do, you know the drill here. Go to thegnarlygnome.com/support. You can support that way. You can become a gnomey. And if you become a gnomey, a paid gnomey, I should say, you will get a subscription to the magazine, to Scentsy Drinks magazine. You'll get it. Depending on what tier you are, it'll be a physical copy or a digital copy. There will be digital copies. And hopefully, very soon, there will be a way for the rest of you that are not gnomies to get online and subscribe to the magazine. And you should, because it's going to be awesome. What else is coming up? The dinner. Beer dinner. We have a huge beer dinner happening at Gilligan's. In like what, a week and a half? Is that right? Yeah, like a week and a half. Holy crap, it's coming up fast. I believe they released our full menu today. I believe it's out there. If not, hopefully soon. I think they released it today though. The 15th, January 15th. Be there or be lame. Like, I really, really, really want to fill this place with people that love to drink beer, love to talk about beer. There will be Tubular Meat, of course. There's going to be a whole bunch of beer, including an exclusive beer that we brewed. I say we very, very loosely. I drank and cheered while Eric made beer in his tiny little brewery. There's not even really room for two people to make beer in there. One person has to like either stand in the corner or just cheer from a distance. It's a very, very tight space. But I'm so excited about this dinner. I'm excited to be able to like have a night where we just get to talk about beer and food and feel like craft beer is still that thing that we fell in love with. Like it's gonna be a ton of fun. Well worth the money, I promise. So get your tickets, go to thegnarlygnome.com/tickets, and then I'll send you right to their webpage where you can order yours. And yeah, it'll be fun. I promise it'll be fun. I promise it will be fun. Chris says, my stein from Chris Kindle Market has already been broken. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh. That's... Every good stein runs the risk of being broken at some point, or else they have not seen enough adventure. All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you. What time is it? It might be a night for a after show. If you're a Nomi, wait a couple minutes and head over, or don't wait. Just go to Patreon and start hitting refresh. We'll do an after show. I think I've mastered what I want from an after show, so stay tuned. Chris says, I think I drank two beers out of it, or I drank two beers out of it. Yeah. Like that second beer must have been an adventure. thank you guys for hanging out. I appreciate all of you. This is the highlight of every week, is kicking it off with you guys. So thank you for making this possible. Thank you for hanging out. We'll see you next week. We'll do it again. You know the drill, and tell people that don't know the drill. 9:30-ish, Monday nights, right here. Oh, Chris says it wasn't even an adventure. It was the cat. Cat's got to go. We'll see you guys. Thank you. I love every one of you. Let's hit the music, and let's do this. I think it's this button. No, it's got to be this. Oh, which one is it? There it is. See you guys next week. Cheers, everybody. After show, what am I drinking? I will let you guys pick my drink. It's got to be something in the fridge or room temperature booze, but I'll let you pick. This is going to be awesome.